Welcome to Bits About Books, the home for conversations with authors of breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. Founders, entrepreneurs, and individual professionals, we all need to keep track of ideas that are helping create our today and tomorrow. Bits About Books will strive to find those books and speak to their authors, go behind the scenes and understand what inspired the authors to write the books that they did and how they went about doing so. Through our conversations, we hope to gain insights that will help us to get the most out of our efforts. I'm your host Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform where our mission is to make buying easy. Welcome to Bits About Books. Thank you for your time and for joining us in this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give you a shout out to each of you in our following episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Our guest today is Fred Kopstek, author of the book Hybrid Selling: How Salespeople Can Use a Complete Approach to Drive Opportunities in the New World of Sales.
What I got worried about, so I sort of have seen quite a lot of salespeople who their way of selling is almost like the equivalent of tapping on a drum, a single drum with a single stick, which has been good enough. They've kind of been okay with it. However, if you look at it really, that is not a great performance. Compared to if you've got a big drum kit with all the different sized drums, you've got the cymbals, you've got the different things that you can hit and play as and when it's needed to bring that performance to life. And so that's what we're doing with the Evolve Framework. It's like, you know what, to be successful now and going forward, we have to have access to this full drum kit, this full set of sales skills, and be using all of those going forward.
Fred Kopstek is a consultant, trainer, coach, and an expert helping sales professionals around the world to improve their performance and unleash their full potential. Fred has worked in more than 35 countries delivering projects that range from implementing a European academy for a leading beer brand, developing sales skills in the Middle East for global healthcare companies, and introducing account development and sales leadership models in Latin America and Europe for IT and engineering multinationals. Always focusing on the desired outcomes, Fred coaches his customers to build mutually beneficial relationships with their customers and increase revenue. Now, onto this great episode with Fred Kopstek, author Hybrid Selling. Fred, welcome to Bits About Books. I'm thrilled to have you with me again. And, we have spoken in between a couple of times, but I'm really, really so happy that we are talking about your new book today. But before we get into that, tell us a bit about what happened since we last met. And I mean, of course, everybody knows what happened in the world, but what happened to you and how did you cope and what's going on?
Well, look, you know the drills. Remember what I said last time? I've been in this game quite a long time, sales trading. You know, I've been around the world a load of times, worked in 36 different countries, trained over 10,000 salespeople. And it was because of that that I could start to identify what the challenges that salespeople have. And thought, right, okay, well, I can do stuff about this. I'm training, but if I can put it into a book, I can reach more people. That's why I wrote book one. And that's me, Set Up for Life. Super. There we go. I've now got that book. I can build all my training around it. Happy days. Launched in 2020. Right. Yeah, right. 2020 had other plans. But what I would say is, on the serious side, what I wrote about there and those challenges, they still exist. They still absolutely exist. And salespeople need to address those and to be able to be competent and good at the way that they deal with professional selling. However, what pandemic's done, I believe, has led on another set of challenges. And this is broadly to do with the fact that what it's done, it's sped up some of the changes that were going to happen anyway. So we could see some certain things down the line, but actually what it's meant is, you know what, we now have to do this at this moment in time. And certainly get ourselves prepared for where we're going in the future, because the speed of change is not slowing up.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's transition into the book. When did you decide that there is a need for a new book on hybrid selling?
Yeah. I mean, So I looked at kind of what was going on and thought, you know what, people are talking about hybrid, they're talking about virtual, people are now starting to talk about machines doing things. There's quite a lot of confusion going on. And this is just as people trying to make sense of this difficult situation that we're in. And I thought, okay, well, how can I help people to make sense of this? You know, well, actually, how can I help myself make sense of it? It's probably the first thing that I was doing. Mm. Okay, right, I can see it like this reasonably clearly. Okay, well, that's good. That's useful for me. I test drove this with a couple of people. They're like, actually, that's really helpful. It does kind of, it makes sense. And it's helping us make sense. Hmm. So then I thought, well, look, what I need to do then is I need to commit to getting this stuff out as fast as I possibly can to help people. Because if we, there are certain, well, some salespeople, if they're not responding to this and they're not developing, they could render themselves irrelevant. And I really don't want that to happen. So that's why I thought, you know what, I am in a position where I can do something here. So I just really knuckled down and turned it around quickly because it needed to be out there.
Right, right. So tell me, when did you start writing it? How long did it take you to do it? How did you go about structuring it? What were the points that you thought need to be accommodated inside this book so that it actually does what you just elaborated on?
Right. So I wrote it in 3 months.
Really?
Yeah, it was proper nose to the grindstone, and that was by having real discipline in giving myself a writing time. So you're getting up every morning, 5 o'clock, giving myself an hour and a half, pure writing time, nothing else. Then I'd go off to the gym, then I'd have my normal day, which as you can imagine was pretty busy because people were trying to get their heads around how can we adapt to sales.
But right.
I thought, look, this, I need to do this. I had a structure in mind, as in the framework for what salespeople need to get their head around to make sure they do have this hybrid or complete approach to the way that they're going to manage themselves and the way they operate. So it was building it around that. But what I wanted to do this time was just change up a little bit how I structured the whole book, and I wanted to lead with a story. So it's got three parts to it. The first is a story of Harry and Larry. So these are two sales guys that are going through a bunch of problems. We could probably guess where those problems came from. And you know, we know that storytelling is really impactful, and people will be able to read that, hopefully find it quite fun, but also it'll resonate because I'll go, well, that's me. you just described me and my position then or now, or maybe I should be worried about this.
Yeah.
What they basically do, without giving too much away, is they uncover the Evolve model. They invent it, basically. Then I can take it into part two and go, right, let's take Evolve and break down each of those sections, essentials, virtual selling, opportunity management, leading, value-based selling, and expanding, because they're the things which salespeople need to do. And then in part three, it's a, well, that's all well and good. I beat the drum of it's implementation over information. That was the information. How can you start to use this? Yeah. It'd be easy to just put like a massive paycheck, call my training course. But that's not really the point.
Yeah.
So it's like I gave some things which help people to diagnose and then some ideas of how they can start to use this practically.
I will come back to you on this and I'm going to dig on that because I am so glad that you wrote that part. Because, you know, as you know, Fred, there's no lack of information or knowledge today, right? Where people get stuck is actually figuring out how to map it into their own life, because a standard framework is not going to work there, right? And as I said, I'll come back and dig on it. So let's start with Harry and Larry and tell me. I don't want you to give up much, but what are the points that you wanted to sort of mark, which will give the background for the Evolve framework to be brought into the narrative?
Yeah, it was just kind of what they were doing. And I don't mind sharing the story. It's that they meet at the end of 2019 at Christmas. They have their little Christmas get together and they're like, yeah, we've had a really good year. Everything's going to be good. More of the same next year. We're set up. Yeah, more success. Happy days. You know, and it's like, okay, we know what happened. They didn't. You know, and then they kind of reflected on the stuff that they did and the things that they did really well, like the foundations that they've got as two professional salespeople. But then, of course, stuff hits 2020, and one of the guys is like, whoa, I don't know what to do. Another guy starts to work out what to do and shares it with his friend. Okay, so he's bringing his friend on, he's pulling him on. He's a good salesperson, he's a coach, you know? And his friend's finding it difficult, but he's motivating him, he's helping him do that. They get back together, he's tried some of those things, but then he's hitting another wall. Yeah, but his friend, who's a bit ahead of it, is saying, well, actually, I've got my head around this. We do know the answer to this already. Oh, yeah, is that the stuff? Yeah, if we apply this. Oh, right. So it's not all brand new. No, no, it's not brand new. It's stuff that we know. Oh, that's a bit more kind of comforting. And then, yeah, I'm trying that. And then off they go. They come back. They keep meeting up and, you know, checking how they're doing. And one keeps sort of helping the other out. It's hopefully quite a daring little story, to be fair.
Right. So that's why the timeline in that part, right? Yep. So that's why the December 29, March 20, August and October and so on. So you can see the progression, and readers can map it onto their own experiences, what was going on at that point of time. Yep.
They might go, I was going through exactly the same thing, or, well, that's good for them. They did that 2 years ago. It's happening to me now. And that's the point. You know, I put that timeline in just to indicate that that was why there was such a big change. But all of those little conversations, it could be that, that's a bit freaky. That is something that I am now thinking, or I haven't even thought about this. Maybe I should be having this conversation. And it's just that it's an easy way of getting the information across.
Sure. So for the benefit of the listeners who have not actually listened to your previous interview, and I really urge people to go back and look at your interview on selling through partnering skills, walk us through the Evolve framework.
Sure. So the Evolve framework, it's a new framework. So in book one, I talk about the value framework. And then the Evolve framework is kind of the way in which people need to assemble all their sales skills. The easiest way to kind of the best analogy for this, if you like, it's like playing drums. And what I got worried about, so I sort of have seen quite a lot of salespeople who their way of selling is almost like the equivalent of tapping on a drum, a single drum with a single stick, which has been good enough. They've kind of been okay with it. However, if you look at it really, that is not a great performance. Compared to if you've got a big drum kit with all the different size drums, you've got the cymbals, you've got the different things that you can hit and play as and when it's needed to bring that performance to life. And so that's what we're doing with the Evolve framework. It's like, you know what, to be successful now and going forward, we have to have access to this full drum kit, this full set of sales skills, and be using all of those going forward. And so it's breaking that down and going, so these are the broad areas that you should start to be thinking about. You've probably got some stuff already. If not, we can get it at a basic level, and it could be that then you take that stuff deeper. So the E, the essentials, if you like, the foundations for selling, the good solid basis. Would it surprise you if I told you that was collaborative selling? Oh, refer back to book one. Well, it is, because that's what I believe the essentials are these days.
Sure.
So I wouldn't even be true to myself if I didn't put that in as that's the basis for where we need to be now. That mindset, that way of working, that kind of way more collaborative way of bringing consultancy and the rest of it.
Right.
However, then we move into the V, first V for virtual selling. And that was a big thing that most people then experienced is, well, we've got to start doing stuff online. We need to start using video. And I talk about using video synchronously. So like, yeah, we're doing now, we're talking over video, but also sending video. Sending video is a big thing. I talk briefly about social selling, because for me that fits into that section neater. And then just touch on, because it's such a big area, but just touch on some of the tools, some of the AI, some of the technology, some of the things which people can use, like your Angle product, to help them in the way that they can operate.
Right.
So we just start to touch on those things. So those are now part of your drum set. If you've not got it there, you are going to be not playing the tune properly. Yeah. Then talk about opportunity management. So again, for me, the salesperson of the future is going to be the person who's kind of orchestrating things. They're going to be at the center. They're going to be bringing lots of different people. And it's all about information. Again, this is right up your street. Yes, information. Who do we know? Who, you know, the decision-making unit getting bigger. What are people trying to achieve? Yeah, so what information have we got? What have we not got? Yeah, so the known unknowns. We need to go out and find that. And then we need to be deliberate in making actions to be able to use that most effectively. So again, that's not necessarily a new thing, but it's something that if we have, you know, that understanding, revisit it. If it's not, it's like, we'll start looking at that, that kind of thing. Bring it into your way of working. Yeah.
Right.
And use that to, we've got E, V, O, L, lead customers. Leading customers. Now, again, people who don't really understand sales go, what? Leading customers? I say, no, 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 I'm not talking about leading up the garden path. I'm talking about leading them, guiding them, helping them in what they do. Some customers will be expert in what they do. They've understood how to buy. They've got a buying process. They don't want you pulling them backwards in that because that's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But other guys are saying, well, I've got a clue how to buy this stuff. I don't buy it regularly. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused. Help me here. Mm. You know, we're in a time of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity. Oh, help.
Yeah.
Right. The salesperson can add value in the way in which they work with somebody. It's actually not the product, not the service, not the stuff they're selling. It's how they help people think. So you can lead them. Okay, we talk about some of the ways to help that. VUCA, that I just mentioned, is one of them. Understanding VUCA.
Right.
And then we need to understand value selling. Again, it's stuff that's been around and talked about for a bit, but I'm not convinced people do it well. I think too often people turn up and go, right, I am going to tell you what your value is. This is where you will get value from me. Because my marketing department has said so, and that's what other people have. That's value. There's my proposition. Take it. No. We need to work with people to understand what value is for them. It's kind of this mutual discovery type thing. Yeah. So we need to understand that. So again, there's a section in on that. How do we do it? And then we expand the relationship. We make sure that we're delivering outcomes. So again, I tap into customer success management, talk about, you know, the results that people are looking for. That's what we're selling, the outcomes that they're looking for. Let's make sure we deliver it. Yeah, so again, elements of key account management come into that. Even self-management, just making sure you look after yourself to be in the best possible position to do all this stuff. Because as I'm going on, it's a lot of things. And yes, it is. That's where I think professional selling is going.
Sure. And I think it, as you were explaining it to me, I can see how tightly integrated these bits are. I mean, although you are dealing with them in separate chapters, but there is a very tight, relationship between each of these, and they flow very extremely nicely from one stage to the next. So that brings us to the last part of the book, and which we spoke about a bit, and I'm really keen to delve into what made you actually write that and how you have treated it. Because as I said, there is no dearth of information, right? The problem is, we have so much information, we really don't know how to, implementation is even later. We don't even know. Oh, I know it makes sense, but I know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm a trainer, right? So that's my job, is to get people doing stuff.
Right.
You know, Brindis as a mantra, think, learn, do. Yeah. And what I say is actually the thinking bit I'll do for you. That's why I write the books. That's why I will collate the material that's going to be most relevant for what we're trying to achieve here. Learn, well, okay, I'll use my experience in learning and sort of even that's developing now, having these better ways in which we can deliver stuff. But do, you've got to do it. But I'll give you every possible way to be successful in the way that you implement things. So yeah, for me to write a book just with info in, it goes against everything I say, because again, I've got a couple of mantras. Think, learn, do is one. Implementation over information is another. I've got to practice what I preach and put something in there so that people can start to use it and they can start to go, hey, this is good. It's interesting. It's fun, but it's relevant as well. You know, and I am starting to take stuff and I can. So, you know, that's why I put in the assessment, because the best place to start to implement stuff is work out where you are now. Yeah, and then hopefully people want to be as best they can. So if they sort of do the assessment and it works out that, okay, that's where you are pretty good already, you get it. Here are bits you're scoring lower. Maybe think about how you can up the scores on that. Refer back to that chapter. You do some of these things. Take it, start to apply it. You know, so people have to do something at the end of the day, but let's try and make it easy and clear what it is that they need to do.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
Where I get a little bit annoyed is that people say, oh, hybrid selling. Well, that's kind of when you're working virtually, isn't it? Well, no, because that's virtual selling. It's already got a name. It already is a thing. It's part of it. It's an important part of it. We've mentioned that. And then the other thing, which seems a bit silly, is that people kind of go, oh, hybrid. Well, that's because salespeople are going to have to work at home. They're going to have to work in the office. They're going to have to work in the customer's premises. They're going to have to be out and about. They have to be back. Well, salespeople have done that forever. That is nothing new in the slightest. So let's just stop calling that hybrid selling. That's just selling. But it's the mixture element of it.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for Bits About Books and founder of PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode where we left it. So tell me your thought which made you call this hybrid selling. Is it hybrid between physical and virtual, or is it the methodology, or is it about the new buyer? Where does it actually fit in?
Right. I'll give you the official version. I'll give you the petulant Fred version.
Please do.
So the official version, and again, you don't edit this, keep them all in, is that, you know, hybrid is about a mix. It's about mixing things together to make what you do most effective, isn't it? That's how I understand hybrid. Mm. So it's hybrid selling, it's bringing it in. Okay, there's three versions. The commercial version is hybrid is a word that's used a lot at the moment. Okay, right. So it's kind of probably not sure. A bad thing to be calling it that to attract attention. And that's, you know, why not? Why wouldn't I? And then the kind of the petulant Fred bit is that people keep talking about hybrid selling, but that's not hybrid selling in my opinion. Right. If I'm going to have an opinion, then okay, do something about it and prove the point. Where I get a little bit annoyed is that people say, oh, hybrid selling. Well, that's kind of when you're working virtually, isn't it? No, because that's virtual selling. It's already got a name. It already is a thing. It's part of it. An important part of it. We've mentioned that. And then the other thing, which seems a bit silly, is that people coming, oh, hybrid. Well, that's because salespeople are going to have to work at home. They're going to have to work in the office. They're going to have to work in the customer's premises. They're going to have to be out and about. They have to be back. Well, salespeople have done that forever. That is nothing new in the slightest. So let's just stop calling that hybrid selling. That's just selling. But it's the mixture element of it. So yeah, a little bit jumping on the bandwagon of the word, but it makes sense to call it that.
Yeah, sure. And it's also sort of underlining how you will do it in future, because we do come with mindsets, right? Some people say, I don't like to do this this virtual stuff because I'm much good at it when I'm pumping somebody's hand and I'm face to face because I can read his reactions better and so on and so forth. So people have their preferences, right? I think what the book is going to do is nudge people towards the fact that there is no escaping hybrid selling.
If it does that, we are achieving what I want it to do. And that is the point. If you're saying, well, I'm not going to do it virtually because I don't like it. Okay, you're only going to do part of your job then. That's fine. But be aware, you're not doing your job properly, because this is part and parcel of it. Sales is a hybrid activity now, which involves all these elements.
Yeah.
Again, we talk virtual because that is one that does get a lot of pushback. So I'm not going to plan. I'm not going to use my information. I'm not going to structure it in a way it's going to help me make better decisions. What are you going to do? Ah, it's all up here. It's in my head. I've got it. I know what I'm going to do. That's fine. But good luck sharing that with the rest of your team and the rest of the customer's team and all the people that really do need to be involved to make sense of more complicated and complex situations. So again, you're not fully hybrid because you're not blending everything in properly. I'm just going to tell customers what to do. Okay, so you're not going to lead them. You're not going to help them think. It's you're not doing your job properly. That's kind of what's coming across. But hopefully without being as lectury as I just have.
And there's another very important point. Like you began this conversation by saying the pandemic accelerated things that were already going to happen. They might have happened like 2 years or 3 years down the line. But what really virtual selling was a thing because buyers are not really sitting there saying, okay, my calendar is open. You salesperson, please come in and fill it up. Yep. That's not happening. That's the truth. The buyer is not. I mean, whether you refer to Gartner, I mean, you have referred to a lot of stuff. So whether you're looking at Gartner or whatever, they're not sitting there trying to give you time. Oh, I have 5 open slots today. I want to meet salespeople coming or vendors coming and pitching to me. That's not how it's working. So this asynchronous buying is about hybrid.
It is. We have to kind of move with the times, you know, and the challenges that, you know, I said we layer up the challenges. The new challenges, I think, are customer challenges, like you said. There's the climate challenges, the sales climate, I mean, and change itself. You know, and customers, I talk about ABC, advanced, biased, and confused. So customers are more advanced. They're further down the line than ever before. They're trying to self-diagnose. They don't want to talk to salespeople. The information is out there. They've got loads and loads of stuff that they can tap into. Yeah. Great for them. Yeah. They also know what they like, like what they know. They're more biased towards what good looks like. They've got higher expectations. They're consumers as well as B2B, and we've got to work hard to do that. Gosh, buyers are in a great place. Except they're also confused because they do live in the same world as us with all this, you know, volatility. I've said it before, haven't I? Volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, all this going on. So they got all this stuff, which is great for them, but equally it's like, I really don't know what's going on here. I want help with this. Now, whether that's, you know, conscious or unconscious, that is going on. So yeah, we were kind of going in that direction anyway, or kind of we were going in that direction anyway, but it's sped it up, I think.
Yes.
And then we look at the sales climate, you know, the types of sales we talk, you know, SaaS sales, you know, the AE8 SDR complex, how much you like that or not. but we've got consultative selling, classic selling, strategic selling, enterprise selling, collaborative selling, of course. You know, all these different things. Yeah, these different techniques. It's like, do I be pushy? Do I lay back? Yeah, and then the tech I've talked about. So all this stuff is there. It's not going away. Even if you just looked at AI. You know, and I do a tiny little part in the book. I was about to say I wrote a tiny little part, but I didn't. I got AI to write it. I just thought a bit better, you know. Actually, I'm not going to write it. I'll get a computer to write the bit about computers. That'd be pretty cool. But, you know, someone like TQ, you know, Justin Michael talks about, you know, technology-enabled sales. He's put a whole brilliant book about that. You know, there's just so much stuff going on. And then this change is a constant, you know. Change ain't going away. And so it's how people sense change. Do they feel it? Yeah, you know, the old frog in the water that starts to heat up. Is it just heating, and eventually boil to death? You've not realized. Or you get this sense that, yes, no, change is happening. I'm a salesperson. I've got to understand change. I've got to help people with it. So, again, am I more of an initiator of it? Do I respond to it? Do I force back against it? And just recognize that stuff is happening so, so quickly. And I genuinely worry that people will get left behind. So.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I also think that you mentioned a very vital point now, that helping buyers manage change, which is internal, which is not visible, and being part of that internal dialogue is extremely important, and traditional sales fails in that, and you need to sort of adapt to the new ways, which is also again part of what you are talking about in your book as hybrid selling, right?
Yeah, ask any salesperson, what's your biggest competition? What more often than not they will do is name their biggest competitor, like the person who's just like them that could also be trying to sell into that account. They miss the point of the question, which is, what's your biggest competition? And the competition is status quo, isn't it? It's just do nothing. It's just carry on doing what we're doing because we just about struggling through, and it's probably less hassle than actually making these huge amounts of change, because change is frightening and the rest of it. So no, salespeople, we've got to be change agents. We've got to understand how we react to it, how we respond to it, so that we can then use that expertise to help people on their own journey. Yeah, this isn't about features, advantage, and benefits of your product.
Yeah.
That's part of it. Again, I'm not going to throw that away ever. That has to be a basis of it. But the people who are really going to be adding the value and making the difference are the people that can help the customers do that.
One of the you mentioned Justin Michael and his book, and I happened to chat with not him, but his co-author, Tony Hughes, few months back. And one thing I've been sort of dwelling upon since that chat is that I think there is a big problem in actually starting the conversation. So opening the sales dialogue, what are your thoughts about it?
Oh yeah. I mean, there is, and of course people look at the technology and, you know, we're all like, we want to try and do stuff the easy way, and let's use the technology to smash out more stuff there, and it just creates more noise, and it's actually not what those guys preach. But I've just started reading it, to be fair. I chatted to Justin ages ago. But you're using this stuff to be cleverer, to be more personalized, to be more relevant to people. That's what you can do. Let it do the heavy lifting and get that human interaction by saying, hey, Mr. Potential Customer, this is what I reckon is going on in your industry. This is must be stuff that you're feeling, or this is how it will be pertinent to you. And doing this stuff incredibly relevant. I think Justin talks about relevance as opposed to personalized, because people hear personalized and go, oh yeah, Fred, I see you like rugby and I see you like cats. Mm. Yeah, I do. But I talk to my wife and my mates about that. I don't need a salesperson to talk to about that. Hmm. Yeah, I've also got a business of running training here, and I want to do it as effectively as possible. Talk to me about that. Yeah, then we're going to get on. So, but understand what I do, what I'm doing now. Don't say, can we have a chat so I understand what you're doing? No, understand before you talk to me.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. I think I'm doing it pretty well. You know, I'm not going to stand and explain it to you. Just on the off chance you can do something, it's like, I've seen what you're doing, and maybe this scenario is too better. And I'm going to go, ooh, brave. But you can't be wrong, I don't think. Because if you've called it out and it is something I'm thinking, I'm going to say, actually, I was thinking that anyway, so let's have a chat because you've demonstrated. If it's totally wrong, I'm probably going to go, no, it's not, but you've tried. So I'm going to explain to you why I'm wrong, because maybe that's just my persona. But because you've tried, you've probably got some other understanding, and maybe you just, there is some stuff in there we can work on. And if you're partly right, but I'll help you do that. So again, by putting your neck out there and saying, that's what I think, it just positions you as a better person to want to speak to, I think. Rather, can we just have a chat? No, we can't just have a chat.
Exactly.
On the off chance that maybe something. And actually, I got a couple of messages recently, which are crazy. Can we have a chat? I'm not trying to sell you anything. Well, meet me down the pub then.
Exactly.
Why would I want to put time in my diary just to have a chat? I don't want to sell anything. Yeah. Well, you do. So actually, you're now lying to me already.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And this is this pushback against this sales. Sure. This is bad. Okay, sure, so I won't be salesy. I'll pretend that I'm not going to sell anything. But you do want to. I know you do, really. So stop it.
Right. Absolutely.
No, again, we've gone off on a bit of a thing. But yeah, it is tough, but not insurmountable. It just means you spend more time and effort working out why somebody should talk to you and indicate that to them.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Because you touched upon it, and I want to touch upon this again, there's a separate point I want to bring in quickly. So
yeah.
one of the biggest challenges I think B2B sales has today is building trust. And you just touched upon it in the previous answer that You're lying to me already, and you're expecting me to do to chat with you. And so in the hybrid selling environment, how do you build trust?
So the hybrid is a mixture of everything again, remember. Right. So it's the same as you would anywhere. You know, the hybrid selling environment is just the environment, actually. Yeah. You know, and it's a term as to we need to pull these things in to the way in which we sell. So it's the same as before. You know, actually, I will refer back to book one where I do talk a bit more about this. And basically, all I do is I quote the trust equation, because I just love that. So the trust equation, which is written as an equation, it says T, trust, equals C plus R plus I divided by S. Right, so C, R, I, that's easy. Credibility, yeah? Know what you're talking about and have that level of expertise. Reliability, do what you say you're going to do. Intimacy, be careful with the information that somebody shares with you. Okay, happy days. Not a problem there. No massive surprise. And if any salesperson even needs that explaining to them, then, you know, question why they're in the job. However, the elegance of this is that this is divided by S. And S is the self-orientation. If you're doing this stuff purely for your own benefit, because that's what it says I need to do to be able to get you to buy stuff from me, it will not be as effective. If you're doing it genuinely because I want to work with people that I can help, I can get to the results that they want, I can deliver on their outcomes because it's better for them, yeah, and then that will, you will be far more trustable. Yeah. And by that, I a deliberate word, it's able to trust people and people are able to trust you, so trustworthy.
Right.
So I just think that's such an elegant way of looking at it. And of course, then it's having contact with people. You know, people, when they're more familiar with somebody, when they spend more time with them, when they start to feel as though they know them better, are more likely to trust.
True.
So if you're not using video, if you're waiting to go out and see somebody and they're pushing back the meeting till you can actually get face to face, somebody else is talking to them online. And the brain doesn't know the difference between what's live and what's not. It feels that it's met that person. And if you're sending video, again, the brain feels as that person is speaking to them. So sending video, that's almost like the equivalent of walking the corridors, I heard somebody said it. So you can meet other people because they can send you on to other folks. So you're missing a massive trick if you're not using this tech in how we can, you know, continue to build trust in a modern way. Ultimately, it's still humans have to trust, but it's, you can't trust them when you don't know or have any kind of experience of or know what they think, how they speak, what they speak about, what's important to them. So get sharing stuff. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, I think this is great. Fred, thank you so much. This is this has been a great chat, and I'm thinking, what can I do to get you back on another one? I don't want to wait for the next book, so I'll have to think of something to continue this conversation.
I'm sure I'll think of something, but what we want to do again, help people to implement this stuff.
Yeah.
Is can we share? So if we share a link to a scorecard, which I've developed, which is broadly based on the analysis of the stuff that's in the back of the book, it's a shorter version, but it's online. People can fill it in. It's 35 quick questions. That'll give them a report. It's got dynamic content. So it'll give them a report on where they are at the moment.
Sure.
And then it actually gives some hints and tips as to what they can do to start to develop that. So even without reading the book, there you go. I've just cost myself book sales. What an idiot. No, but again, it's why do I do this? Because another of my mantras is good people doing good things in a good way. And so, anything I can do to promote that, I'll do it. So I'll give you the link to that.
Sure. Please do that. And any other resources, like you said that you had interviewed a few other guests on your second launch program, which you may want to share. Please do send this in and I will ensure that they're included in the show notes. How do folks get in touch with you if they want to, Fred?
Sure. No, I'll definitely share that with you. So yeah, we on the launch day, I invited some, each of those areas I explained, I thought, well, I know a bit about it, but why not get people who know a lot about it? Sure. So I interviewed them, get them to talk about each of those elements. Sure. So, people who've written whole books on just those segments, I've just took the best bits out.
Bits About Books is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers through its presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 99021-631-32.
But yeah, no, if people want to get in touch, discuss this stuff more, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the best place to do that. Mention that you've heard this podcast. Reach out with questions. Just say you liked it. Say if you didn't like it. Say if there's stuff that you disagree with. I mean, that's good. Feedback's great, isn't it?
So, sure.
That'd be definitely the best way.
Sounds great, Fred. Thank you so much for joining me again.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes with great conversations on breakthrough books with Julie Hansen, Andrea Worlds, Amit Agarwal, and Mike Kunkel about wonderful books they have written. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today on Bits About Books, where we talk to authors about breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and buy the book to learn firsthand and implement some of the great ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of Bits About Books. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from. and give us a rating while you are at it.
This BizCast original podcast is produced for PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform, where the mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Subhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.